Prior to acting on any legal matter, you should seek legal advice from a qualified legal attorney who can evaluate your situation and advise you accordingly.
Welcome to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH. Your Partner in Law is brought to you in part by the law firm Gregorick & Associates PLLC. Charting your course to a secure future. Your Partner in Law starts now. Here's your host, Rick Gregorick.
Good morning, Puget Sound. This is Scott Ralston and Ted Hansen sitting in live in studio. Rick is taking one of his days off that is well deserved.
Take a breather for a change.
Yeah, we had an expo this weekend that we all attended. It was very, very successful.
Give
expo.
A good shout out to the folks at Fixated Real Estate for putting on a great event at the Westin in Bellevue. That was a really well attended event. It seems like I know I learned something, and I think everybody else that was there managed to learn something as well.
Yeah, it was excellent. Excellent program, well attended, a lot of people attending, and a lot of learning and a lot of information going on in the world of real estate.
Yeah, hot real estate market here, and a whole lot of people wanting to get in on the action, I think, you know, and I think
it's probably worth a note, you know, because a lot of people out there are thinking about getting in the real estate market, and, you know, and you hear about house flipping, and you hear about, you know, all the profits that you can make, and that it's easy money, and you know, it's just this great way to make a bunch of cash real fast.
Yeah, and that can be true. But I think we saw everybody from the first timer to the mid-level to the really high end.
Really
folks.
High level, yeah.
And I can tell you, folks, I know a lot of these people don't succeed at this as well, and largely because they don't do it properly, right? The ones that you see that are really crushing it, as they were calling it at the seminar, are people that do it right. They have the angle down from all perspectives, from a lending perspective, from a legal perspective, from an insurance perspective. They have all those bases covered, which is what you need to be successful really in any type of venture, right?
So. Yeah. If you're thinking about getting into house flipping, before you get into it, you need to really sit down and talk with people that know what they're doing. Talk with your accountant. Talk with your attorney. If you don't have an accountant that does this type of real estate work, get one. Yep. If you don't have an attorney or don't have an attorney that does real estate work, find one.
Absolutely.
And, you know, talk to people that do flipping, because what I get is that a lot of them really don't, you know, mind, even enjoy mentoring people.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that this weekend, didn't we? I mean, a lot
absolutely.
Of these people paid to speak and really didn't have to pay to speak to teach people their method, but were more than happy to do so. And that was kind of impressive, frankly, to see that.
Yeah, so there's, you know, find a mentor, find someone that's going to help you out and advise you, and don't get yourself in trouble. Make sure that you're following the law, because it's not just a matter of setting up a business entity or getting a loan. I mean, you got a lot of things that you got to watch out for, a lot of things you got to do. There's a lot of ways to get in trouble, both with the state contractors board, with the state, with the attorney general, and then you can lose your shirt. Yeah, L&I, yeah, you can lose your shirt doing this.
Absolutely.
So,
and in fact, run into some serious liability for doing things wrong as well, right?
So, oh yeah, you can lose money on the transaction and then get sued after you lose money on the transaction.
Absolutely, so. Isn't that fun? Right? We've seen that a few times too.
So, anyways, and Gregorick & Associates, you know, we do have a good knowledge of real estate transactions. I know that I've handled a number of lawsuits involving real estate transactions, so that gives me that type of experience. Rick Gregorick has a broad background in real estate, has done a ton of real estate type of work. He was a broker.
Lender.
You know, he knows real estate.
Yep.
And so we've got good resources. Real good resources. We have an attorney that used to work with us that we work with, who's also a real estate agent. So he's a great option for people to work with. And then we've got some other real estate agents that we work with.
Lenders and things of that nature.
And lenders. So, you know, if you're thinking about getting into real estate flipping, give us a call. Set an appointment with us and talk with us a little bit, and we'll get you started on the right foot.
Absolutely.
If you got another real estate issue, maybe you got a lot line issue, maybe you got an adverse possession issue, you know, talk with us about those things too.
Yep.
Those are pretty common disputes around here, especially those lot line disputes.
Yeah, if you've got any of those questions, folks, be happy to hear them. 888-973-5476 would get you on the line. And we're going to be talking about the probate process here in a minute. But before we talk about the probate process, we like to attend these events like we did yesterday, but life moves on. So coming up on May 12th, we are doing retirement asset protection with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, who is probably the preeminent person in the Seattle area who does long-term care.
Yeah, and if you haven't had a chance, if you haven't had a chance to sit through a class with Brian Ott, he is a great speaker. He really, really knows the Washington long-term care insurance market, the laws, the options that you have here in the state of Washington. I mean, he does an excellent, excellent job in a short time period of walking you through it and, you know, I dare say maybe getting you a little bit excited about long-term care insurance because he gives you some knowledge about it.
Yeah, he does. And the one thing that I like about Brian and Madeline, who works with Brian, is that they come from this from a real world perspective. Madeline's mother apparently had no long-term care and had to kind of march through the Medicaid process, and I know that was very trying for the family. And then Brian, of course, had the exact opposite result, the better result, if you will, and his family had long-term care, and it really proved to be a great option for them, and really kind of held the held that family together for a period of time. That can be a really tough situation, both emotionally and financially, and long-term care certainly is a great fix for that problem.
And Rick will be joining Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, Rick Gregorick with our firm, Gregorick & Associates, and he will be walking you through your estate planning options, comprehensive, inclusive estate planning, what your options are, what your opportunities are. You know, if you haven't been through one of Rick's programs, it's another, you know, it'll get you, I dare say, excited about doing your estate planning. It's not an exciting thing. Long-term care insurance and estate planning, these are not exciting topics, but, you know, these classes that we host are really, really a good opportunity for people who have been sitting and kind of sitting on their hands, procrastinating. We call it planning procrastination.
Yep.
And just have not been able to find the motivation or just don't know where to start, don't know what to do. It's a great opportunity to get, you know, into this process and start learning a little bit.
Absolutely.
May 12th.
Yeah, it's a learning event. And, you know, we don't take credit cards at these events. We don't do things like that. So it's very important that that you come out and educate yourself on these topics. And like Scott said, they're not particularly fuzzy topics to talk about, but certainly it's very, very important in everybody's life to have these various pieces of the puzzle in place. So anyway, guys, May 12th, going to be 9 to 11. It's going to be in Kirkland. Going to be a great event. Yourpartnerinlaw.com to get your tickets. They're going fast, so this will be a limited engagement, probably less than 50 people would be my guess. So, folks, get on this as soon as you can and get your tickets for retirement asset protection on May 12th.
Probate.
Yeah, everybody's favorite. What is this about?
Probate.
Yeah,
what is
probate?
We're going
to talk a little about this probate thing today.
If you've learned about probate, chances are good that you learned the way that people don't like learning about probate.
That's right.
A loved one has passed away, and you have experienced probate through the loss of a loved one. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk a little bit about the probate process, and you know we're going to also talk a little bit about probate avoidance and some of your options for probate avoidance. Now, how do you get yourself or how does a loved one get themselves into a probate? Well, probate is obviously when someone passes away and they either have a will or they have no will.
Or a trust, perhaps.
Or
none of the above. Yeah.
Trust is typically going to involve a pour over will. We'll talk a little bit about a pour over will further on. But if probate really arises under most circumstances where you've got a will or someone has passed away without a will. Now, we, of course, are big advocates of planning. We're big advocates of avoiding not having a will. I think the statistic is something like 65% of Americans do not have an estate plan.
I think that's accurate.
So, you know, for the 65% out there that are listening today that do not have an estate plan, what happens is the state has an estate plan for you. It's a statutory estate plan. When you pass away, somebody will need to petition the court. and they will need to be appointed as the personal representative in the state of Washington. If you are in possession of someone's will when they pass away, you have 30 days to file.
40 days.
40 days to 40 file days, yeah. Under the law. And that's a statutory responsibility. You're supposed to get that filed with the court.
That's right.
And then somebody needs to petition the court to be appointed the personal representative.
That's correct. And if there is no will, we go through this process of appointing what's called an administrator. So what happens when you do that is you file your will, you file a petition with the clerk, and the clerk will issue either letters testamentary or letters of administration. And that, in short, is the personal representative or the administrator's ticket to administer the assets of the decedent, in short. That's what that's about.
Yes. And so you got to get someone in charge. So
yep.
Is it a personal representative designated under a will, or is it a person that is designated that comes forward, and there's right. a statutory scheme for it?
And the court appoints.
And the court appoints. Yeah, and sure. What does it take to be a PR? Well, just because a person wants to be a PR doesn't necessarily mean they can be a PR.
That's right. There are certain disqualifiers, for sure.
There are certain disqualifiers. The biggest one is, of course, is criminal history.
Yep.
If you have been convicted of a felony, or if you have been convicted of a misdemeanor of moral turpitude.
That's right.
Which is basically some form of fraud.
That's a fancy word for fraud. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, you will not be able to qualify as the personal representative. We have seen cases where individuals have managed to get themselves appointed as personal representatives against the law.
Right.
And they get rather quickly removed
right.
once that is disclosed.
Right, yeah, the court doesn't care for that at all. So, and the other thing that's important about these non-will kind of cases, Scott, is that ordinarily we have two different schemes under the law. One is what's called informal proceedings, and one is just the opposite. That's court-monitored, which is, means the court's fully involved in the process. And also, if you don't have a will, there can be occasions by which the PR would have to post a bond to be able to administer the assets of the estate. And
yep.
that's another disqualifier sometimes.
Yeah, yes, it can be. It can be. So we're going to talk a little bit about the process further after we get back from the break. If you've got some questions, give us a call. 1-888-973-5476. Again, 1-888-973-5476. And we'll be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Most Americans have a fear of running out of money in retirement. And when we look at the things that we fear the most, it's long-term illness and the high cost of health care. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregorick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH.
And I'm Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio here on Cairo. Saturday, May 12th, Rick is going to teach you the must-know information on estate planning, and I will be discussing new long-term care options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them.
At this special event on May 12th, Brian and I will provide you the critical information you'll need to protect and preserve your hard-earned assets.
Attend our retirement asset protection class. Register today at yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We'll teach you the valuable ins and outs of asset protection, so register today. Retirement asset protection is Saturday, May 12th, and we still have space available. Don't delay. Register today. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorick on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to Your Partner in Law. This is Scott Ralston live in studio with Ted Hansen. And we're talking a little bit about probate, the probate process. And we're going to talk a little bit further down through the show about probate avoidance and some of the reasons you might want to avoid probate.
Yep.
If you got questions, give us a call. Lines are wide open. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. And before we get back to the probate process, we've got a great big event coming up here on May 12th, Retirement Asset Protection. It's going to be in Kirkland. It's going to be at our offices from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So we'll get you in, get you out nice and early in the morning, and we'll be talking about estate planning options. And Brian Ott will be joining us from 525 Advisors, talking a little bit about long-term care. So if you're interested in that, you can give us a call at our office. Give us a call tomorrow.
Absolutely. 425-284-3450, or you can go on yourpartnerinlaw.com to get your tickets. And like I said, this is going to be a limited seating engagement. This particular room holds about 50 people, I think, maybe as many as 60, but not much more. So, folks, this is going to sell out pretty quickly. So we encourage you to get online at yourpartnerinlaw.com and get your tickets as soon as possible.
So we were talking a little bit about the probate process before the break. So somebody needs to be appointed. We talked a little bit about that. You motion the court, you get appointed. There's a few other rules that apply. One is if you're the surviving spouse, there is a time limit within which you can presumably be appointed the personal representative. It doesn't prevent you from still motioning the court to be appointed, but it becomes a little bit more difficult to be appointed.
That's right.
If you do not meet the time requirement, 30 days following death of a spouse.
Yeah, actually that timeline, it looks like it's 40 days. The point being this, that you have that time to petition the court, and if you fail to do so, you're no longer in the successive order that's set forth in the statute, which makes the surviving spouse a priority. PR is the issue.
It's the priority presumption.
Yeah, the priority presumption. So we've had cases, obviously, Scott, where wills don't get filed for years, right? And nobody does anything.
Decades.
And, yeah, decades even. And the court will still appoint. It's just you lose that presumption if you're the surviving spouse. And sometimes you may end up having somebody you don't even know administering this estate on your behalf, which is certainly what you want to try to avoid at all costs, right? So by all means, time is of the essence in these types of things, although sometimes people just don't know or just don't follow the rules.
Yep. And so we were talking a little bit earlier about what some of the things that can prevent someone from becoming appointed the personal representative. Inability to post the bond, possibly a criminal history could be. There are some situations where there is so much acrimony among family members that the court will decline to appoint an individual that is even designated in a will.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And what happens in those cases is the court can see, you know, when there's a hearing, that there's a lot of family animosity, and there's just the potential for the court having to just constantly manage infighting among family members. And so the court will decline to appoint a particular family member or any family member in some cases order to make it so that the estate is more smoothly administered and so that there are not any underhanded moves by the personal representative.
Yeah, and they try to avoid that at all costs. Now, excuse me, I personally have had some situations where it didn't turn out exactly like that. But in any event, the courts, generally speaking, don't, you know, particularly non-intervention probates, they don't want a bunch of acrimony. The whole point of non-intervention probates is to keep the court out of the process and to let the PR do what the PR's got to do.
Yeah, but, non-intervention. Let's comment a little bit about that. Non-intervention, it's a bit of a double negative, but when you are appointed with non-intervention powers, you have the ability to administer the estate without court oversight.
That's right.
And if you are appointed without non-intervention powers, there's your triple negative, I believe. When you are appointed without non-intervention powers, then you are not able to administer the estate without going to the court and motioning the court for pretty much every action.
Yeah.
Now, that makes it very costly, and that is one thing that you want to avoid. And if you do a will, say you choose to do a will-based plan, one of the things that you can put in there is that your personal representative will serve without bond, number one, and number two, that they will serve with non-intervention powers.
That's right.
And that will really help streamline the estate process. It will also reduce the cost because it is quite costly, quite frankly, for estates to be administered without non-intervention powers.
Yeah, it is. And that involves somebody like you or I getting involved in the process. And whenever that happens, I would guess that it's probably triple what it would be otherwise.
I would guess as much as well.
Something like that.
And, of course, the irony is if you have what is called an insolvent estate, which is essentially a bankrupt estate where the assets are exceeded by the liabilities of the estate, then the court will appoint the personal representative without non-intervention powers, which, of course, drives up the cost of something that's already broke.
Already upside down. That's right. That's quite a dilemma, too. And that does happen, right? I mean, and we're going to talk a little bit further about the process of gathering debts and that sort of thing here in just a little bit. But the key to that is that sometimes you don't find that out until you're well into the process that their claims come in or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes when you start an estate process, you are of the impression that it is a solvent estate.
Right.
But once you learn that an estate is insolvent, you have a duty as the personal representative or administrator to notify the court and let the court know that this estate is no longer deemed solvent.
Right.
And the court will at that
within
point in time.
Within 10 days, you're supposed to make that.
Correct. And what the court will do at that point in time is they will revoke your non-intervention powers.
That's right.
And there the cost goes up.
Right.
Again, and it's another issue. Well, give us a call if you got any questions. 1-888-973-5476. Your partner in law will be right back after this brief commercial break.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorick. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorick & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
This is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. Now, the facts are clear. Nearly 3 out of 4 of you will end up in a long-term care situation during your retirement years, which creates many problems, like being forced to spend down your savings, becoming a burden on your family members, and losing control of your care options. But there is good news. We now have new options and new ways to protect yourself and the people you care about most from the high costs of long-term care. And I personally invite you to join me for one of my upcoming long-term care planning classes. These are free, educational events where you will learn about recent rule changes and new programs, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. And I'll even give you a free copy of my book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning. So join me and learn how to protect yourself and the people you care about most. Sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com. Or give us a call, 425-748-8188.
Most Americans have a fear of running out of money in retirement. And when we look at the things that we fear the most, it's long-term illness and the high cost of health care. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregorick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH.
And I'm Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio here on Cairo. Saturday, May 12th, Rick is going to teach you the must-know information on estate planning, and I will be discussing new long-term care options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them.
At this special event on May 12th, Brian and I will provide you the critical information you'll need to protect and preserve your hard-earned assets.
Attend our retirement asset protection class. Register today at yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We'll teach you the valuable ins and outs of asset protection, so register today. Retirement asset protection is Saturday, May 12th, and we still have space available. Don't delay. Register today. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregorick.
Like a little Tom Petty to get things moving on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Tom Petty and coffee.
There you go. What a great combo.
Well, welcome back to Your Partner in Law. This is Scott Ralston, Ted Hansen, live in studio. If you've got a question for us on probate process or trust administration or just a question in general about estate
probate
planning.
Probate nightmare or something. Well, we'll entertain those kind of things as well.
Yeah, we do. We love the war stories. So if you've got a good question or something to tell us, give us a call, 1-888-973-5476.
Yeah, and Scott, at the break, we were talking a little bit about this appointment of personal representatives or administrators, as the case may be, and then the next step in that process is, of course, to notify all of the heirs of the appointment. And, of course, there's another little hitch here in the state of Washington, and that is to notify DSHS. And for those of you who don't know what DSHS is, it's the state's equivalent of the health care system. And if there are any liens,
Medicaid
and any those types of liens, that's where all that gets ferreted out. But that is another requirement to provide notice to both the heirs and to the Department of Social Services.
And so once you're appointed and you start giving out those required notices, now what are you going to do? Well, you could have a little bit to do, or you could have a lot to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and as the administrator or personal representative, what you're going to need to do is fulfill your duty to marshal the assets, identify and pay the just debts, and distribute the estate in a timely fashion.
Yep.
Now, what does that all mean? Well, you got to get in there and you got to figure out where the assets are, what the assets are. You've got to find the debts. You got to give notice to the creditors. And as the properly presented debts are presented to the personal representative or administrator, they're going to have a duty to assess that debt, pay that debt if it's a just debt. And there's a lot to do sometimes in these cases.
Right,
You're dealing with an apartment and a couple pieces of furniture and a couple bank accounts. Okay. Sometimes you're dealing with a number of houses, businesses,
apartment buildings, yes, other things.
Tons of personal property. Now, we'll talk a little bit about dealing with personal property here in a minute. And so sometimes this process of getting into these estates can be incredibly overwhelming. We have had many, many cases that involve, we'll just call it what it is, hoarders.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you deal with an estate with a hoarder, you are dealing with a ton of personal property, trash.
Right.
Just overwhelming
yes.
amounts of stuff that have to be dealt with. And it is unfortunately not entirely uncommon to have to deal with these things. We get at least a couple a year that we have to deal with.
Yeah, we do. It seems more and more frequent for some reason, but we do get a lot of these things. And those are really tough to unwind because, number one, you don't know what kind of sanitary conditions you're walking into when you have these types of places. I mean, frequently there's rodent droppings and even rodents in some cases and
yep.
and worse, right? Worse infestation and things literally stacked to the walls, right? So
papers, you know, newspapers from the 1950s. You know,
yeah, so these days we have to generally we hire a firm that comes in and, well, for lack of a better term, cleanses the house, right?
Yeah, and we don't necessarily know what has value.
Right.
I mean, we've had cases, and I can think of one where we had a rather interesting house in Juanita. It was designed by a locally famous architect, and the couple that lived in the house had collected furniture from the 1950s, yep. 60s. And some of the stuff was actually very, very dilapidated looking and very, very run down, but some of it was actually quite...
I know, it surprised you and I in particular, right? I mean, some of those pieces went off for some serious money, right?
I mean, some of the stuff was quite collectible because it was some of these, you know, these modern architectural classics. Well, it was some of the originals.
Right, absolutely.
And so some of the stuff was actually quite valuable. And, you know, we had to hire some special companies to come in and value some of these items and help us get the things liquidated.
Right.
And that's not entirely unusual.
It is not, so... So we will talk about those kind of issues and more when your partner-in-law returns in just a few minutes.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Regrick, host of Your Partner-in-Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial. Regardless of your wealth or lack thereof, you need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. I truly believe putting a long-term care plan in place is one of the best things you can do to protect your assets and your family. But I also know more planning is needed as you head into retirement, and none more important than estate planning. That's why I would like you to join me and attorney Rick Regrick on May 12th for our upcoming retirement asset protection class. Rick is host of Your Partner-in-Law right here on Cairo, and he will educate you on the steps needed to set up an estate plan to protect you and your family, and he will also teach you about some of the most common mistakes people make when putting an estate plan together. I will be discussing new long-term care options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. So join us Saturday, May 12th in Kirkland for Retirement Asset Protection. Seating is limited for this special class, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Regrick, founder of Regrick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. Yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Regrick on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Stevie the Guitar Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, boy. That's classic.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da.
We'll just
all
let
right.
that go a little
Enough
longer.
Of this singing.
All right.
All right. Let's get on with things.
So welcome back to Your Partner in Law. We're talking today about probate administration. We talked a little bit just before the break about what happens if you get appointed and you just have to deal with this huge mess. So we talked a little bit about the physical mess. I mean, sometimes you will end up with a house that is just loaded to the gills with personal property. And typically what you're going to need to do is hire an estate firm to come in and do an estate sale. That's, you know, probably one of the simplest ways to go about this.
Yeah.
There are estate buyers that will come in and they will just bid and they will come in with trucks and movers, and they will just buy it as a lump sum and take it with them. And, you know, sometimes that's the way to go about it as well. There's just – because it's overwhelming. I mean, I know that we've had personal representatives that have tried to do it themselves, and they'll – you know, do garage sale after garage sale and Craigslist after Craigslist. And it's not, I mean, it can be effective, but it can just be so incredibly time consuming, and it holds the estate open for too long, and it's just too much work for the personal representative.
It is. And at the end of the day, you just have to do something with the items. You just have no choice. I mean, particularly if you're selling the house that the items are in, you've got choice. Or in cases that are worse than that, you've got you had a decedent who was in a lease agreement, right, that you have to unwind in a certain period of time, or you're going to continue to pay the piper, right, through that process.
Well, and the mortgage, you know, you got to deal with the mortgage if they own the house, and that's another thing that's going to have to be dealt with, the property taxes.
And, of course, the ongoing expenses of the property, too, is another duty that the personal rep has, right, to keep the water on, to keep the lights on.
Well, and oftentimes these properties have been neglected, too.
We
run into that, and so there's lots and lots of expenses that need to be incurred to get the property up to – you know, par and ready for sale. And that's another thing is if you're dealing with property sales, if you have non-intervention powers, you can sell properties. You need to sell anything that you sell, quite frankly. You need to sell for some form of fair market value. You can't just bargain it off. So, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, in our opinion these days, you almost have to list a property as a personal representative because of the bidding wars, because you do have a duty as a personal representative to maximize the purchase price. And there may be, you know, different, you know, there may be times when they don't necessarily need to list the property, but, you know, in this market, there may be a duty on a part of a personal representative to list a property.
Yeah, to get the highest fair market value is absolutely essential, I think, for covering your fiduciary duty. And folks, these are fiduciary roles that you're in when you're administering estates, which means that your highest duty is to the beneficiaries, essentially, that you administer that estate in their best interest and not your own. And sometimes you're an heir as well as a PR, and that becomes a little bit difficult and can blur the line a little bit.
That's right.
But that does happen occasionally as well. So,
I mean, some of these personal representatives, if there's disputes, as there often is with estates, sometimes personal representatives will have one attorney to represent them in fulfilling their duties as the personal representative, and they will need to personally hire another attorney to represent them as a beneficiary. Because they wear two hats in these cases sometimes.
Yeah, and that creates an inherent conflict. And so that's pretty common, frankly, right, Scott? I mean, we see that.
We do see that
in these kind of things.
So
while we're on the topic of personal property, there are other ways in the state of Washington that you can dispose of personal property prior to your death, and that's by doing what we call a personal property memorandum. And that's a real simple device that you simply put the piece of property down on the piece of paper, who it's going to, and sign and date it. There really are no formal requirements for doing it. And most wills will say, if there's a personal property memorandum in a place when I die and it's part of your overall estate, that those items get distributed first, and then the balance gets distributed after.
This particular document, the personal property memorandum, is an exception.
Right.
In that it does not have the formalities of what we call a codicil, which is an amendment to a will.
Right.
And it's, you know, if you have, and I think this is probably the best example, but if you got some kids, and sometimes kids are very sentimental about things that you own. Personal property. You need to do a personal property memorandum. This is your opportunity to do a list and designate who's going to get what. Who's going to get that wedding ring?
Yep.
Who's going to get that China bowl? Who's going to get that gun? I mean, these are the kinds of things that kids will fight over.
Absolutely. I was just saying, these are the things that
I don't say these things, these particular items, because I've dealt with these.
Exactly.
I've dealt with these fights over these types of items.
Oh, and we get into some really unique ways to deal with these things, right? Like bidding wars and the like and things of that nature.
That's right.
It gets kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah. And so, you know, and as the personal representative, oftentimes the personal representative in a will, they will be designated authority to divide the personal property in equal parts among the heirs. That doesn't provide a lot of guidance.
Yeah.
And that's where that personal property memorandum can really help prevent some arguing and bad feelings among siblings.
No question about it. But hey, folks, if you're going to give something away, give it away while you're alive. Just a little hint here, okay? A little hint, okay?
And then you know, give that stuff away and head to Tahiti.
There you go. That's right. Take what's left and go to Tahiti. So the next step in the chain, Scott, and we'll move on and perhaps talk about this. But let's talk briefly about this notice to creditors and why we do it. Generally speaking, when someone dies, you have 2 years from the date of death to file a claim against that person for money that they've owed you. If you file a notice to creditors, which is those, there's two parts to it. One is unknown and one is known creditors. And if you go through that process properly, you can truncate that to 4 months, which is why we always encourage personal representatives to do the notice to creditors.
Right, and identified creditors.
Right, and so we'll talk a little bit more about the process and wrap this up in our next segment, and your partner-in-law will be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorick. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorick & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Gregorick, founder of Gregorick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a partner-in-law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the elder law or estate planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. Yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Most Americans have a fear of running out of money in retirement. And when we look at the things that we fear the most, it's long-term illness and the high cost of health care. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregorick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio and AM 770 KTTH.
And I'm Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio here on Cairo. Saturday, May 12th, Rick is going to teach you the must-know information on estate planning, and I will be discussing new long-term care options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them.
At this special event on May 12th, Brian and I will provide you the critical information you'll need to protect and preserve your hard-earned assets.
Attend our retirement asset protection class. Register today at yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We'll teach you the valuable ins and outs of asset protection, so register today. Retirement asset protection is Saturday, May 12th, and we still have space available. Don't delay. Register today. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregorick.
All right, folks, we are back, and we are talking about the probate process this morning. And when we stopped before the break, we were talking about this notice to creditors issue, and we're just going to finish up a few points on this. There are two types of creditors out there. There are what we call known creditors, and those are people that you pay your light bill to and your cable bill and those types of things.
Credit cards.
And the bigger category, and the one that really can creep in and cause problems, are what we call these unknown creditors. And, folks, these are the little blurbs that you see in the paper that we are administering the state of XYZ, and you have 30 days or whatever the time limit is to make a claim here, certainly within this claim period, or you are forever barred from making a claim, right? So The issue becomes this. If you're the personal representative and you fail to do a notice to creditors and a claim comes in, you've distributed the estate, and a claim comes in during this two-year period of time, now you are now personally liable for the debt, okay? So, I don't need to impress upon you how horrible that can actually be, but that does happen occasionally.
And so most of our personal representatives, what do they do? Okay, well, they get a hold of the estate books and records. They comb through the books and records. They identify the bank accounts, the savings accounts, the brokerage accounts, anything that they can find that might be an asset of the estate. But in addition to that, they comb through the records for debts,
right?
Credit cards,
yep.
Utilities. There are some that are obvious. I mean, the ones that you know are going to be there. If you've got any form of a real property, if it's a lease or ownership, there's going to be utilities most likely. Credit cards, there usually are statements for those. There could be other things out there, loans. There could be collections.
Yes. You know,
that's another thing. That's a type of debt that you can provide a notice to creditors. It's a debt that's become due. It's one that's being collected, but it's still subject to the notice to creditors rules.
Right.
And, you know, if you can identify these things, you can figure out who these creditors are. You send them notice, and they need to make a claim within a certain statutory time period. And if they fail to do so, then they are forever barred.
That's correct. And that's a really big hammer, and not doing it is a really big risk. Let's just say that. So we do get some pushback once in a while from clients that don't want to do notice to creditors for whatever reason or don't think it's important to comply with that statute, and we absolutely insist that they do that, or guess what? They get a sign, a waiver, saying that we've been advised and we choose not to, and proceed at your own risk. That is not the way we want to do things.
No, and there is a cost. For doing this, it's not when you have to publish notice, and there's a fee for that.
Yeah, it usually runs around $500.
Yeah, it's $500-$600 bucks, and it's generally. But it's, you know, we in our opinion, it's well worth it. But sometimes our clients don't want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, it's absolutely worth it for the asset protection alone. So it's important. So the next step after that process is complete is, generally speaking, at some point in time, you do what's called an inventory and appraisement. So basically, you gather all of the assets and you figure out the debts, and then you're in a position to try and administer the estate. And that means that the provisions in the will have set forth who this property is to go to, and the process of unwinding that is ultimately up to the personal representative.
And if that personal representative is acting with non-intervention powers, they can start winding down the affairs.
Yep.
It's a little bit more simple of a process. Now, if they're acting without non-intervention powers, there is a little bit more cumbersome of a process that they have to go through, where they need to provide notice and petition the court and set out exactly how it is that they're proposing that the estate be finally settled.
Right. Right. And then that like introduced to court order, and then of course the distribution happens pursuant to the court order, right?
Yep. So there's a publication requirement for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, kind of in a nutshell, folks, is that process. And Scott and I talked a little bit earlier about probate avoidance and these various techniques that people use to avoid probate. And generally speaking, when we're talking about probate avoidance, we are talking either about titling something that passes to another person on your death, or simply the item is beneficiary designated, much like an IRA would be or a life insurance policy would be. Those are what we call, let's just say they pass outside the probate structure. I wouldn't call them avoidance necessarily, but they do pass outside that probate structure.
Yeah, and there's those non-probate assets. Let's talk a little bit. We were talking earlier about estates that are insolvent. Well, sometimes a probate estate, what is within the probate is insolvent, but outside the probate there is funds. And depending on what types of funds those are, then the personal representative can reach out of the estate to those non-probate assets and obtain those assets, pull them back into the estate for the purposes of satisfying the debts the estate.
And then a lot of beneficiaries don't understand that process.
Right? If that does not go over well with beneficiaries, it can be very... And I used the word earlier, but that can be very acrimonious.
It can be. And there are a couple of exceptions, like Scott said. The two primary exceptions in the state of Washington are life insurance policies and then, of course, at state and federal level, retirement plans. So any qualified plan would not be subject to what we would call a clawback. That's a fancy word they use in bankruptcy, but that's essentially what we're talking about here, is clawing back money back into the estate for purposes of taking care of the creditor claims.
Exactly. And it's fair. Okay, when you think about it, of course, it's fair. that if there is money outside of the estate, that it should be reachable by the estate to pay those debts.
Right, absolutely. And just briefly, we'll touch on taxes. Of course, that's something that the personal personal representative is responsible for doing as well. And sometimes this tax issue dovetails into what we just talked about, right? We don't have enough to pay the taxes here, and so we have to claw back this money. Talk about acrimonious. That really gets people's ire up, right, when they have to do that to pay taxes. But anyway, most folks in the state of Washington got a $2.193 million exemption. So when you get estates over that, you have to start worrying about that type of issue. A lot of us, frankly, don't hit that, particularly married couples in a community property state that would be split in two. And so that's generally how that works. So.
Well, and there's also income taxes.
Right.
The final tax returns. And sometimes, I mean, this is not unusual for whatever reason, but oftentimes deceased individuals either are under audit or have failed to pay taxes for a period of time.
Yeah.
And so that's another issue that we regularly have to deal with when we are advising our clients administering estates.
Absolutely. So there are two tax returns that are generally owed from an estate, and one is the decedent's final tax return, just the 1040 like everybody else files, and then there is an estate tax return, which is filed 1041, and that deals with appreciation of assets between the time that the decedent passes and the estate is actually distributed. So there can be income that's taxable during that interim period, and that's the purpose of
those. And there can also be, we don't see it as much now with the given economy, but there can also be losses as
right.
well.
Absolutely.
There you go. That is probate in a nutshell. And you know, we deal with this every day. So if you've got probate questions, you can give us a call at the office, 425-284-3450. We'd be happy to talk with you a little bit about probate. If you've got probate issues, maybe you're currently working on something by yourself, trying to administer an estate, and you're getting a little frustrated. Maybe you've got an attorney that you're having problems with. Give us a call.
That's right. We'll see you next week. Your Partner in Law. We'll be back.